It's time again for the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach, Doug Gefeller. Hey, Doug.
Hey, Paul. Great to be here in studio today with a fascinating guest. But before we get there, welcome to today's episode of the Coaching Perspective. I'm your host, Doug Gefeller. I've been a Master Certified Coach by the International Coach Federation since 1999. And I've been coaching business owners, senior executives, and their teams for 20 years here in Southern California, all under the banner of the Coaching Perspective. If you'd like to know more about my coaching services, just go to the website, thecoachingperspective.com, or you can reach me the old-fashioned way, 714-726-8354. Well, our guest today is Serena Curran. I fouled that up, didn't I? Internationally known transformational expert, intuitive success coach, mentor, and speaker who specializes in working with professional women. And our topic for today is step into your power, unlock your possibilities, and live your potential. And this is going to be an interesting conversation. Serena has lived in more places in the world than most of us have ever traveled to on vacations. So she is a brave person willing to pull up stakes and go, I think, at a moment's notice is the impression I've got. Serena, welcome to the Coaching Perspective Radio Show.
Thank you, Doug. It's so fantastic to be here with you.
Appreciate it. It's our pleasure. It's our pleasure. Well, look, why don't we jump right in and get a little bit about your background. So tell us the background, not what you're doing right now, but how'd you start out? You've had a number of different businesses.
Yeah, well, yes, I have. And I guess I would go back to saying I was very first, I was a scientist and I did medical research and worked for a biochemical company doing detection systems for diagnostic kits. And then I got an MBA and I was a marketing manager for a biochemical company. And that's so far away from anything that I ever thought I would be doing. And then it just happened very naturally that I discovered that I was able to do this transformation work and transmit energy and work with the invisible parts of people. And it was a big surprise to me. If you had told me that when I was a chemist, I would have said, oh, no way.
There are those skeptics.
And I was one of them.
Well, that's a great story there. Okay.
And so my very first... I did a backpacking trip in 1993, and I went to 12 countries in Europe, and that was a surprise trip. I didn't plan it. I never said I wanted to go to Europe, and I was gone in 10 days. I didn't know how long I would be there or where I would go, but I started in Scotland, and I wound up going to 12 countries, and I was there for 3 months, and it was in that time I realized I was going to live in Europe, and so I went back home and arranged all of that, which was a mighty task. And it was during that time that I actually dreamed that I did this kind of work, and I discovered it that way.
Oh, wow.
And then I actually went to a workshop with Barbara Ann Brennan, who wrote Hands of Light, and on the Friday evening, she answered a question for me, and then she said, you're a natural healer, it's your life's purpose. And that was the big, huge change in my life. And from there, I went back to live in Europe. I didn't know where. I traveled along the Swiss-German-Austrian border. When I crossed into Austria, I knew that's where I was going to live. So I had my first practice in Austria, and I had my first business in Austria, in German, rented my first apartment on my own, in German.
Oh, wow.
What's surprising to me as well as to other people.
Do languages come natural to you, or is it easy for you to learn other languages?
Well, when I would have said no before I got to Austria, and in fact, I was like, I'd had German in college and didn't do very well in it. But in fact, I actually was there a year and a half, and I was conversational in German by the time I left.
Oh, wow.
So I thought in German, and I managed to learn it. But I did study really hard. It's a hard language.
Yes, it's one that intimidates me. It sounds like everybody's mad at you all the time.
I have heard it spoken beautifully, but it does sound that way often.
And then where from there?
After a year and a half of working there, I actually received a meditation to go to Hawaii. And I said, really? But I chose to follow that path, and I went to Hawaii, and I lived on Kauai for 3.5 years.
Not a bad deal.
No, I get to go to some of the most beautiful places in the world, I have to say. So I was in Kauai for 3.5 years, and there I, after having had a healing practice, I actually got certified as a healing touch practitioner and worked in the hospitals there. So I worked with patients preoperatively and postoperatively, and just patients on the ward doing healing work with them.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I've never really been exposed to a healing practitioner. Can you sort of explain a little bit? What does that mean?
Well, what it means is, I'd love to explain it, actually, as best I can, because it's sort of a mystery, too. But it's like you have a blueprint. This is the easiest way to explain it. We each come with a blueprint, and the blueprint actually is a forms of energy that are all around your body and actually support the physical structure of your body. So if you think about light vibration, the faster the light is, the lighter it is, the less you can see it. Mm-hmm. And as it gets slowed down, it becomes slower and slower and slower until you have a body. So that's the energy that we work with, is all around the body and inside the body. And there's different ways of looking at it. We're actually electromagnetic beings. And so there's many different ways to access that energy and to work with it. And in fact, if there's something wrong in your energy field, it will eventually make your physical body sick.
So as a scientist, mm-hmm. how did you come to grips with this?
Well, it's pretty easy in a way, because Barbara Ann Brennan, who is an internationally known healer, was also a scientist and wrote a lot about the wavelengths and vibration. And Rosalind Bruyere, who's another teacher that I worked with, was also a scientist. She was an engineer. And so I'm not the only scientist that wound up understanding that there was more, that the invisible parts of the universe are actually more important than the actual physical ones that we see in terms of making changes.
And I have to apologize for the way I asked that question. I didn't mean to imply that there's no basis to it, but is there scientific links to the basic philosophy of energy?
Well, there are people that make attempts at scientific links, and of course quantum physics really is more of a basis for what goes on with the body than other things, and you can read a lot of information about that. I myself haven't spent, and Healing Touch is actually a nursing continuing education program, so they base that on a medical model.
Oh, okay.
And what you do, you do a case write-up for each patient that you work with, and you actually document what you found in their energy field. And some people see the energy field. I'm more sensitive to feeling it. I don't actually do that work anymore, but that's how I got started.
Okay. So you left us in Hawaii. I wish you'd left me there, but where'd you go then?
Oh, well, I went on a sojourn. So I spent 10 months in Atlanta, Georgia, where I did have a healing practice. Then I went to Boulder, Colorado for 4 months, and then I was in Sedona, Arizona for about 7 months, and I also did healing work there and hung out with all those healers and unusual people that you can find in Sedona. And from there, I went back to Europe for 6 months, and that was an interesting story because I was getting a message to go, and I didn't really want to go. And I was saying, I don't really want to go. And I kept getting a pressure to go, and I said, okay, I'll go September 16th. And I, no, you've got to go sooner. So I left September 9th, and on September 11th, when the towers came down, I was in Paris on my way to Greece, and I was out of the country for 6 months. So I had no experience of that whole event.
Oh, boy. Mm-hmm. And so how long have you been back now?
Well, from there, there's much more. I came back in about 2000. That's 2001 or so. And I came to Southern California. I've been in and out of Southern California since then, living in Los Angeles and in San Diego, so some different times. I spent 1 year in Paris, France. And I also spent six months in Manhattan, New York. And I did a little bit of a sojourn on the East Coast as well. But mostly, we'll say I've been here since then.
We'll accept that. And you drove up today from Oceanside.
I did. I drove up from Oceanside. And now my work is, I don't actually do transmission of energy, or I actually use consciousness to make changes with people and do it over the phone.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And your clients, is, I take it, are professional women, or is there more to it than that?
Well, I tend to attract creative movie makers. It's just a creative people.
Okay.
And I think that I find that authors as well. I think that what I've found is that I'm a creative person myself, and I think I live creatively, and I think that my process is very organic, so people that are creative are really comfortable with that.
Okay, and what is there a common issue that your clients tend to come to you to solve? I mean, why are they coming to you?
Well, the clients that come to me usually feel like they're up against a wall of some sort. Something's wrong, they're not sure what it is, and they know that they need to make changes. And or they just want to move to a new level of performance, because every time you expand, then all more issues will come up. So, for example, I had a client who came to me, a woman who simply didn't know what was wrong. She just knew that she wasn't happy and that she was being unpleasant to people around her. She was just acting out, and she didn't like that, and she didn't want to do it anymore. So she came to me, and it turned out in our conversation, because that's how I work, is in a conversation I'll see the patterns, that there was an issue with her mother. And so when we went back to that issue of her mother, she and I asked her to feel what that felt like. She described horrendous stomach ache and I'm going to be sick and all of these sorts of feelings. And then I use my consciousness to make a change. And then if she goes back to that event, it's no longer there. She can't feel it, can't sense it. It's like it's there, but it's disconnected. And what happened for her after that, of course, we did other work as well about boundary issues and what you were entitled to and things like that.
Sure.
But what happened for her after that was that she arranged to have a date night with her husband. She had 4 children. She arranged to make sure she had time every day to write. Her writing blossomed. Her whole life blossomed. Her relationship with her husband improved. She saw her mother and had no reaction to her mother. When she'd see her mother, she would run the other way and cry. So her whole life was changed just by getting to that one core issue that was really affecting every other aspect of her life.
Amazing.
It is.
Now before the show started, you made a point of telling me that you aren't a coach, and and I assured you that we have people on the show frequently who are not coaches. We're not limiting to just that. But sometimes it's hard to tell whether what people do is coaching or not coaching.
Exactly.
You know, I mean,
yeah.
Okay, I can look at your certification, but, you know.
Yeah.
It seems to me that one of the things I just heard you mention that is different than coaching is, in coaching, we don't go back and look at past issues and what's caused it. But as I understand, that's an area that you explore in the work that you do with people.
Well, I explore any kind of trauma or big issue that's in their lives. So, yes, and I do go backwards, and I do an intervention, which
okay.
is different than coaching. Where the coaching comes in is I do coach them on their life, their boundaries, you know, other issues. And we do talk about other issues, and I will give them things to do. But really, the thing that differentiates me is my ability to see those patterns and to be able to remove them so that they open up the life to lots more possibilities and potentials.
Okay, wonderful. Mm-hmm. Anything else about your current business model that you want to share with our audience? Is that pretty much covers it, who you coach?
I'm doing one-on-one coaching is what I'm doing right now, and I'm also offering VIP days for women that want to really do some intense work in a short period of time. And that isn't appropriate for everyone, but there are some people for whom that is appropriate. And I'm speaking. So those are the things that I'm doing right now and going out and meeting a lot of people.
Okay. And Forgive me, but did I not see in something you sent me an offer for a coaching session for or a session with people?
Yes.
You want to mention that now?
Sure, I'd be glad to mention that. I do offer a free consultation to anyone that's interested. It's very simple. You can either go to my website, which is www.clearforsoaringsuccess, or you can just use this link, which is a bit.ly link. I don't know if you know what a bit.ly link is, but it's bit.ly/book1now. That's book number one now. And that's an offer that's open to anyone that thinks that they might be interested in exploring some of these topics.
Okay. And I will try to make sure that I put that in the podcast when we post it. I'll put that link in there for you.
Thank you,
Doug. I think
Doug.
You did send it to me already.
Thank you, Doug. I appreciate that.
Okay. Well, all right. That's a little bit of the background. Now, there's a question that we've asked all of our guests since we started the show, and we've never gotten a duplicate answer.
Oh.
So here we go.
Fabulous.
What is your guiding principle? What is it that you, what holds you consistent in spite of what's going on in the world? What is your basic belief?
My basic belief is that we live in a universe that has all good intentions. And that everything that happens has a positive reason behind it, even if we can't see it.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. I like that. Mm-hmm. And it is not a duplicate.
Oh, thank you. But that is where I come from. And so there's nothing that's happened to anyone that's that can be classified as bad. It's just what happened. And so it actually is usually an opportunity to develop yourself, to be able to look at those issues and to resolve them.
Okay. Well, look, our producer's kind of waving at me here. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we're going to come right back. Okay, and we're back with Serena, and we're talking about her practice. We've given you the fascinating backlog of this world traveler, this scientist turned healer turned... what do you label yourself as now?
I call myself an intuitive guide and catalyst.
Okay.
And I call myself a chief possibilities officer.
I like that one.
I love that one because that's what I do. I help people find their possibilities.
And when you say, okay, so tell us a little. We're going to get into some of what you do now. And when you say an intuitive guide, what do you mean?
I mean that when I work with people, we talk on the phone, and they've come to me with issues. We first delineate what all the issues are. Sometimes there's just a few, and sometimes there's a lot. And from there, we start into a conversation. As we're talking, I just intuit what the patterns are or where we need to go with the conversation in order to resolve those issues. So it's a very organic process. And different for every single person that I work with, which is what is also different from what coaches normally do.
I don't know.
Okay.
Different. I mean, I think part of coaching is being intuitive of hearing what's not being said, of understanding what the background is that's impacting the client and where they're going with it.
Yep.
Or what's keeping it from it. But you do use some terms that are different that I find fascinating. You talk about barriers.
Patterns, yes.
And what was the other?
Imprints and patterns.
Imprints and patterns,
right.
Yeah.
So the woman I described earlier, I would say, was imprinted with a not being worthy issue.
Okay.
And that was related to her mother. And so she wasn't worthy of any of having time to herself or having time with her husband or having time to write. So that one I've already kind of addressed. And then as far as patterns go, I can speak about another woman who came to me who actually is in a situation where she has a business and she also has a career. She has a family. And she's trying to make decisions. She's trying to help develop the business, but she's finding she can't seem to move forward. Everything, she's not clear about exactly what she wants to do or where she wants to go. So in conversation with her, she mentioned that her father had been an issue for her. So we dove into her father and discovered that he was a dreamer and a person who always said that when I get this project done, we will do X, Y, Z, and we will do all these things. And he was a dreamer, and the dreams never came true. So she said she was fed dreams. And by the way, she has some digestive problems, which is certainly related to that. And then, so we went to that whole issue. And again, I did my, I'll say my magic. And because I can't explain exactly how it works. But I did the work with her. And again, she could go back and there was nothing left there. But the point, the conversation also led to her husband. And it turns out her husband has the same pattern. So what the pattern did for her was made it hard for her to tell reality from unreality.
Oh, that would be difficult.
Very difficult because her father had always said, this is real, but it never came true. So as a little girl, she was always trying to figure out what was true and what was real, what was not real. And she never really did that. So her husband is in the same circumstance where he has a project he's working on. And he's telling her all of these things. So I coached her on how to determine whether it was real or not real after we removed that pattern. So that pattern, you see, was repeating. And that's what patterns do. They, when you have a pattern, somehow it will play out in your life somewhere. So her pattern with her father played out in her relationship with her husband. So that's what we worked on.
Now, you know, this is not the same thing, but I'd like to, I'll throw it out so you can comment on it. I talk about the coaching that I do in terms of working with clients to get them to look at their issues from a different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't use the term pattern or, but it's looking at the situation from a different perspective, the other person's perspective that was involved in it, from an observer's perspective. But trying to get it into to break the pattern, it sounds like to me.
Right.
You want to comment on that?
Well, I don't actually do it that way.
No, I know.
I go back and find I look for where the pattern originated.
Okay.
And work on the original pattern because that pattern is an energetic, part of the energetic blueprint. And when you change that blueprint, then it's gone. It's like the blueprint is the foundation of who you are in every way. So if you change that blueprint, you've changed the foundation of who you are. And then I don't ask them to I ask them to observe, or in this instance, I asked her to observe and to notice how her body felt when she heard various stories, because she couldn't tell what was real or wasn't real, and she couldn't make any decisions about her future because she couldn't tell what was real or unreal with regards to what her husband was planning.
Okay.
So it's different from that perspective. The focus remains on the client and not so much on what the other person is doing, but on her reaction, because it's her pattern.
And if I look in your website, you use the term freedom from the past is something that you work on. And that sort of sounds like the basis of what you do. Would that be correct?
Well, it is an important part of what I do. And it's a very interesting thing. I was actually, when I was in Hawaii and working on someone, that I realized that in this present moment, we brought up an issue, and I removed the energy of it, and I could demonstrate that, by the way. I could demonstrate to you as well if I did something like that with you. But I could demonstrate that. I removed that past energy, and now I knew the present energy was different, and so therefore the future based on this present would be different. So what I say is, if you clean up those patterns, you get a fresh canvas to create your future on.
Okay.
You get a new canvas. It's a different canvas, like the woman who had the imprint when she got rid of that blob on her canvas of her mother. Then her canvas was clean, and she could do something different with her life, that she was free from her past. Does that make sense?
It does. Would you say that most people are, when they come to you, are aware of what the pattern is at the time that they come to you? They're just aware that they aren't achieving or aren't comfortable with where they're at now.
Right. No, they're not usually aware of the pattern. And no, they're usually surprised that particular incident would be creating what it is in their lives. No, they come because things aren't working the way that they'd like them to work, or that they'd like to make a new step in their life, and they're finding it hard to make a change or to go forward.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
And you use the term that you're a change agent, a catalyst for change.
Right. And that's a way of describing what I exactly do, is because when I change those patterns for people, I've now been a catalyst for them to have a different life. It's a way of describing the work that I do that makes a little more sense than some of the other things, the ways it could be described.
Now, I don't want to pigeonhole it. How long do your clients work with you?
Well, usually it depends on the client, but usually about 6 weeks.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
That's not very long at all.
No.
Okay. And do they revisit you? I mean,
they can if they would like to, and some do.
But generally, they come with a issue, you've worked it out. And...
Yeah, or they have many issues. It depends on the... Everyone is different.
I mean, I have lots. I don't think we could be done in 6 weeks.
Well, I don't know that anybody's done in 6 weeks. But let me put it this way. We set it up so that whatever we decide, I could change that. If someone comes to me and says, I really do work organically. So if someone came to me with many, many issues, I might say, well, we need 3 months. But it is a very quick process for doing this compared to some of other ways of approaching these things. Very quick, and people do get immediate results. So once on the very first session, when I make a change, there's going to be immediate results in their life.
And your work is over the phone?
Yes.
What's the frequency that you talk to your clients?
Usually weekly. Three times a month, on a monthly basis, three times a month. And maybe an email in between, if that's called for. But normally, it's three times a month.
What's the impact on your energy when you're working with a client?
I love it. I feel fantastic. It doesn't affect me, and their issues or whatever's going on with them doesn't have any effect on me at all. I just feel great because I can help them resolve these issues that they've struggled with all their lives, even. And didn't know that was the issue.
Okay.
So it's really kind of a great...
That's a good feeling.
It's a wonderful feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a wonderful feeling. And the reason one of the reasons it's so wonderful is because when one person changes, it changes the people around them, it changes the community, and it actually changes the world. So I view it as a really important process for anyone that goes through change in a positive way. They're, you know, like the woman whose family now had a mom back. That
yes.
was what was functioning in another way. That makes them feel loved and feel appreciated. That ripples out into the whole world.
Now, your talk has been about individual sessions that people you work with individually.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever worked with a group?
In fact, yes, I have. And in fact, I started out working with groups when I first went to Austria. My first invitation was to work at a light center in Austria. I had never actually done this before. I was in front of 30 people who had been with all these international healers. And I did a group session and worked with the whole group. And then afterwards, I was invited to work there. So it's really fun to work with a group. And I had a group in Paris always every week. I used to have a spiritual group there. And a lot of expats and French people would come for that.
Yeah, I mostly work with individuals, but I love to do group coaching. I think that when you can get a group together, it's the issues, the what you're dealing with, the dynamics are so different than if you did them one individually.
Right.
You know?
I probably don't work the same way that you do with a group. The groups that I've had, normally we do some sort of a little conversation at the beginning, and then I would transmit energy to each person, and then we'd have a closing discussion. And so we didn't actually talk about individual issues. I just...
So you're, even though they're in a group, you're really directing yourself to them individually, their own individual...
Well, as I walk around and do that. Yes, I guess so. But I, the group dynamic is great, and the energy is great in a group, and it does make a difference. A group is a great way to do some of that kind of work.
Your most rewarding session that you've had with somebody?
I guess I'll pick the woman that was in an abusive relationship, and she really did have PTSD. She had a lot of fear because she was in a relationship where every day her life was threatened.
Oh.
Yes, and so I again did the same sort of work. I'm with the consciousness, and after that she was able to do many more things than she was before, and told me 98% of her symptoms were gone. She still had a little bit of anxiety in certain moments, but she really could function again because of having done the work with me. So for me, this was a woman that through no fault of her own, really, or it's not never through anybody's fault, but really was suffering, and I was able to alleviate that very easily.
Okay. I keep peppering you with questions, but let me stop the questions for a minute and say, what else do you want to share with us about your practice?
Well, I could share some more about my practice, but I did bring some little tips for the audience, too.
Wonderful.
To work on invisibles, and I thought I'd like to share those.
Okay.
And so, you know, I call these patterns and imprints and traumas that people have, I call them invisible barriers. But there are other invisible barriers, too. And sometimes with awareness, you can notice that you're creating your own barriers, and you can stop doing it. And one of them is to notice the stories that you tell yourself over and over again. Or what are the stories you tell yourself when something happens in your life that's not so great? You know, I love to say to people that that stories aren't real. The only thing that's real is exactly what took place, and that everything you say about it is not real. So you can make as many stories as you want about it. So once you finish one story, I would invite you to make four or five more stories up about it. And then realize that none of them are true. They're just stories that you made up. And if you're going to make up stories that empower you. Don't make up stories that disempower you.
Okay, do you have some example? Can you give us an example of what a story might be that we're telling ourselves? And how we would change that story.
Well, the easiest one I can think of is, let's say we saw a man with a knife walking down the street.
Okay.
Walking in his house, and you looked in the window. And one person looks in and said, oh my God, he's going to kill somebody. Another person looks in and says, wonder what he's going to do with that knife. Another person says, maybe he's going to open a letter with that knife. Another person says, wonder if he's got some great cheese that he's going to eat. So it's like that. That's the general idea.
Okay.
It's not a real story that that you would tell yourself, but nothing's coming to mind other than that at the moment.
But you're probably talking about stories that have an emotional impact on us,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, or any story. You know, somebody says something not nice to you, and you decide that you can tell yourself a story that, you know, that's me. Somebody's always saying stuff like that to me. I guess you can tell yourself you deserve it. Or you could remind yourself that when someone does something like that, it has nothing to do with you. It has to do with where they're at and mm-hmm. What kinds of things are going on in their own life. So that's one place where you have a choice about what kind of story you're going to tell yourself about it. Somebody's unpleasant to you in the store or something. You know, there are other occasions where maybe you do have some responsibility in what's taking place. But I'm just saying something that's off the cuff in the store or something. You can interpret that a lot of different ways. You can take it in as something about you, or you can remember that it really isn't about you. And that's a story you tell yourself.
You know, the first business that I had, which was not coaching, where I had to go out and sell a service.
Mm-hmm.
I very quickly started telling myself the story that I couldn't sell.
There you go.
Okay, because I was rejected, people were rude to me, they weren't there for the appointment when I showed up,
mm-hmm.
and all of this evidence pointed to the fact that I could not sell, and, you know, I cemented this story to the point where I practically had a flag that I carried that said, I can't sell, you know?
That's
Look
exactly
at me,
it.
You know? And then I had a situation where somebody invited me to go on a sales call and I said, I don't do sales calls. I don't sell. And they said, no, we don't want you to come and sell. We'd like you to just come and tell some of the stories of the work that you've done with executive groups. I said, well, I got lots of love to tell stories. So I went along and I told a story, and we had another meeting and I told another story. And pretty soon the person I was with said, you know, you're selling. You know, you may not realize it, but you're selling. And I had to change the story from I'm selling and I can't sell, so I'm uncomfortable and I won't do it, to I'm just telling stories. I'm offering people help.
Right.
They may take it, they may not take it.
Right.
Is that the kind
That's a great, that, I think that's a great illustration of exactly what it is. And we can tell ourselves stories that limit us,
yeah.
Or we can tell ourselves stories that allow us to expand. And so it's just a habit. And so you take the time to notice What did I tell myself about that? What am I telling myself about that? It's just another way to get into those issues that prevent you from expanding and from being successful.
And it can work both ways.
Mm-hmm. You can.
I think when I was playing a lot of tennis, I used to tell the story that I was a great tennis player,
there you go.
Which I wasn't. That caused a whole different problem.
I bet it improved your tennis, though, better than it ever was going to be if you told yourself the opposite.
I'm not so sure. All right. Got another tip for us?
Sure. Listen to your language. You speak the language of limiting language. Like, do you tell yourself that people can't be trusted or that you need to work hard? What are the things that you tell yourself over and over again about how the world works that are limiting? Instead of looking for evidence that people can be trusted, and which makes you more comfortable in the world with going ahead and doing the things that you want to do. These are simple things. Asking limiting questions. You ask yourself, how can I survive? How can I get even? How can I get people to love me? These are questions that are limiting. How can I be more loving? How can I thrive is a much better question than how can I survive?
Same topic twisted around.
Yeah, it's just, it's a change in perception.
Mm-hmm.
And when we change our perceptions, as you were saying earlier, part of your work, then it changes the way things play out for you. And I think incompletions is another area that people maybe don't know about or pay attention to. And so anytime that you have an incompletion, it's like a drag on your energy. So let's say you owe somebody money and you don't pay them. That's a drag on your energy. And so if you take care of that, if you go ahead and you just clean up those, you take care of paying that debt or cleaning out the cabinet that you told somebody you would do or you told yourself you would do, these clean up your energy so that you're not having these drags on yourself that keep you again from doing the things that you really want to do.
Yeah, I can ruin a whole weekend because I didn't spend an hour finishing something on Friday that I kept putting off all weekend.
Right.
If I had spent the hour, I could have enjoyed the weekend, but it dragged me down.
Yeah, that's an incompletion, but I can also offer you that you could also let yourself off the hook on it.
Well, that I'm good at. Good tips. Those are great.
Yeah, I hope that people will be able to use those and make some changes in their lives.
I think we all can use those.
You know?
Definitely. Yeah. I don't know of anybody that isn't. Well, I'll speak for myself. I'm guilty of every one of them. I've caught myself at every one of them. I've corrected it, and then I do it all over again in a different situation.
Well, maybe we need to look at some patterns, some deeper patterns for you.
Okay. Not on the air here.
Well, but really, you know, the clients that come to me, that they're really up against the wall and they're having a hard time finding a way out. And I know that they have unlimited possibilities. And that's where I hold every person that I work with. They have unlimited possibilities because that's the truth. The issue is that we have the barriers that keep us from realizing those possibilities or those potentials. And that's what we can work on. It's like you had a book and you're rereading the old chapter.
Yes.
If we get rid of that, if we fix that old chapter, then you don't have to reread it anymore.
Well, look, we're getting close to wrapping up here. What else? Anything else you'd like to share with the audience before we've kind of passed over or missed?
Well, I think we've covered a lot of territory in we've covered a lot of territory in a very short time. Just that, you know, there's possibilities for everyone and that, you know, go ahead, take the leap, look for something more for yourself and be open to whatever is shown to you and have courage because you're living in a universe that's going to support you.
Just like the lion, have courage.
Well, I love the lion. You know, I love the lioness because the lioness has all of the great qualities of courage and community and taking care of the young and all of the wonderful qualities that we'd all like to have.
Wonderful. Okay, so you said it earlier, but in case somebody didn't get it, how do people get in touch with you?
Well, they can actually go on my website, Cleared for Soaring Success. CLEARED for Soaring, SOARING, success.com, or they can call me at 323 546-8082 and leave a message for me. Or they can go on the bit.ly link, which is bit.ly/book1now. That's lowercase book and the number one now.
Wonderful. Well, look, thank you very much for being with us today, for fighting. This is the second week in a row that we've had a guest that has had to fight more than an hour's worth of traffic to get here. I really appreciate you doing that, and I'm so glad that you came here into the studio so that we could have a chance to meet.
It was my pleasure, Doug, really, and I loved having our conversation. I really did.
Well, thank you. And let me just say welcome to the Coaching Perspective Radio community.
Thank you so much, Doug.
Okay, great. Well, look, you've been listening to Serena Curran talking about her practice and what she does to help people. If you tuned in late, well, then go to our website or go to the podcast and listen to it. If you're listening to the podcast, then thanks for visiting our website, The Coaching Perspective. And while you're there, be sure to check out our archives for other shows with great guests. And speaking of guests, if you'd like to be on the show, we're always looking for interesting people, coaches, CEOs, or HR professionals. Just drop me an email, doug@thecoachingperspective.com. So thank you very much. This is Doug Gefeller. I hope you've enjoyed the show today, that the discussion has provided you with new ideas and information that you can put to use immediately to identify and achieve your goals. Have a great evening. You've been listening to the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, The Coaching Perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach Doug Gefeller.